Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined by Royce White. He, of course, hosts the Sunday night show here on InfoWars, does an incredible job with that every Sunday evening. You can get to his website by going to RoyceWhite.us. You can follow him on X at Highway_30. We're talking about all sorts of stuff, but sort of centralizing our discussion on the fact that the Bulls NBA team has waived Jaden Ivey after anti-religion LGBTQ rants, is how the New York Post puts it, or as a post-millennial, pro sports players stand up for Jaden Ivey as he's canceled by Chicago Bulls over Christian beliefs. I think that's a more accurate headline. It does feel a little bit different this time, though, doesn't it, Royce? I mean, we've seen this, not the first time somebody's been canceled for something like this, but he hasn't apologized. It seems like the outrage I'm seeing is a lot more, and there are a lot of pro athletes, even if they're not coming out blatantly and saying it, they're making social media posts just saying, hey, Jesus is king, you know, and just sort of signaling, hey, I stand with Jaden. Does this feel different to you? Does this signal a shift in the wider consciousness?
I think so. You know, and I think overall your athletes are going to look, a part of this communist color revolution that's not really talked about so much right now is the attempt to take some of the youngest, strongest men in our society, which some of these professional athletes are some of the most incredible human beings to ever live. I mean, in the history of human civilization, some of the things they can do physically and movement-wise is next to supernatural. And there is a sort of cultural effect and intent to take the strongest young men amongst us and neuter them. And emasculate them, you know, and turn them into eunuchs, put them in dresses, and normalize this effeminate, which then becomes homosexual or, in the worst case scenario, transgender mentality. Yeah. And so I think naturally, as we track along here, people got to remember these things happen over long courses of time, or sometimes over a longer course of time. As we track along here, The American professional sports culture, the excellence, the mastery of skill, the hard work and discipline it takes to become a high-level professional athlete is so diametrically opposed to the everybody's equal egalitarianism of the far left. There's naturally going to be a friction and a collision at some point. I just think that this Jaden Ivey story and the Christian piece of it is the fuel fueling something that's it's a powder keg already, because you can't take men who believe in merit just naturally from their career or their passion, the thing that they're good at. You can't take those men and tell them everybody should be equal, and then tell them, well, you're not equal if you believe in Christ. It's like, what kind of racket is that?
Right.
You know, so I think naturally this thing is going to unravel. The question is, will we be able to hold the country long enough? Will we be able to keep in the fight long enough to take back some of the institutions, right? I mean, that's the whole point of deconstructing administrative state and going against the deep state and shattering the security state and all the things that the MAGA movement said that it was planning to do. And some of them we're doing, some of them we haven't done. I'm in favor. I'm a maximalist. I'm in favor of doing radical things like let's arrest some United States senators and Supreme Court justices. Right. I think President Trump should arrest Chief Justice Roberts. I always hearken people back to Abraham Lincoln suspending habeas corpus and telling Chief Justice Taney, as the rumor goes, told Chief Justice Taney in the United States versus Merryman decision, if you release Merryman or any of these other Confederates, I'm going to arrest you next.
Right.
And he understood the dire nature of the situation. And I don't know that President Trump either does or that the American people have the stomach for him to go maximalist. I know we all say we want that, but I kind of get the sense if he went max, over half, and maybe more than over half of the Republican caucus would sponsor his impeachment papers the next day. You know, if he was to actually arrest John Thune on dereliction of duty charges for withholding secure elections from American citizens, I think your average Republican would say that's a step too far. And, you know, and I say that for a reason. I use that example to draw back to the NBA. I think a lot of Fox News communists look at professional sports and what happened with Colin Kaepernick, and they're so, and rightfully so, discontent with what's happened to American professional sports. They say, oh, well, this is, you know, this is unacceptable. Well, what if President Trump, you know, put out an executive order and we were going to, you know, bring down the hammer, you know, some harsh penalties or sanctions on some of these companies that were anti-Christian? Would Republicans say that that's an overreach of the executive? And I tend to think that they would. So, you know, it's we find ourselves in a peculiar situation where people know what the problem is, but they don't necessarily want to take the prescription or the cure.
You're exactly right. It's like the biggest issue we have right now is like trying to get through to the Republicans. Like, what do y'all not understand about the condition that America's in, about the seriousness of the problems that we face? And it kind of goes along with, I want to ask the other players on the Bulls, like, why would you not stand up for your teammate? Why would you not, like, I get that it's important that you want to have your million-dollar career and you don't want to cause trouble. I get that would be inconvenient. But, like, do you not get what's at risk here? Do you not understand that, like, each one of these instances is another incremental, you know, it's another bar on the jail cell around us? How do we convey to people the importance of what's going on? We can, you know, I could talk to John, you know, Senator John Thune and try to explain to him, you know, what's happening. At the end of the day, he's just, well, you know, it's just how it is. It's just the way we do it. And it's like, yeah. What do we have to do to get through to some of these people and just and get them to take the necessary measures?
Yeah, you got to start arresting some people. That's for sure.
Be a good place to start.
It'd be a good place to start. Yeah, and again, even from a cultural standpoint, when you talk about the makeup of an NBA team, half of those players on each team don't believe in God in the first place. I mean, or they only casually or loosely believe in God, much like a lot of the 501c3 Christians all across our great nation here. We don't live in a Christian nation. We live in a nation that should be Christian, that was intended to be predominantly Christian, but we're so far from that, it's almost laughable at this point, right? Because if you're a Christian nation, you don't let communists and Satanists and pedophiles take over just from the outset. I mean, that would be a non-starter. It isn't a non-starter. But half of those players on those teams don't even believe in God. The other half are frightened to lose financial security in what is a very financially insecure environment nationwide. I mean, we have real financial insecurity that's widespread. So, I mean, imagine you're accustomed to the high life. You don't want to lose that. And this goes to a much deeper issue of radical materialism and communism and Marxism and the reduction of the human existence down to price.
Yep.
And we have to understand, all of us, and even President Trump. That's why I don't like when he says, oh, me and President Xi have a good relationship. No, you don't. He wants to kill you. Because, again, if Iran is being subsidized by China in an Iron Triangle alliance and the Iranians sanctioned a hit on the president, that would mean China sanctioned a hit on the president. So he's not your friend. But what we can definitively say about China is that they are a nation led by tyrannical and authoritarian engineers. We are a nation that wanted to be a nation of ideas and laws. So naturally, we're a nation led by lawyers. When you put tyrannical engineers versus crony capitalist lawyers, the tyrannical engineers win 9 times out of 10. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is there any scenario where a nation ruled by lawyers, in general, lawyers, can beat a nation ruled by tyrannical engineers? I think the answer is yes, but the premium on the rule of law and the integrity of the institutions that uphold the rule of law has to be almost unimpeachable, unassailable. And we're so far from that. That in and of itself is almost a concession to our defeat by the Chinese, because we don't, I mean, we're inverted. We think of the law as something that should, you know, almost axiomatically be corrupt. Like, yeah, well, it's the law. Of course, it's pay to play. I mean, if you can't afford a good lawyer, of course the judge is going to slap you, hit you with the book. Alex Jones in a civil case where you owe $1 billion. I mean, this thing I thought it was out of control then, right? When Alex Jones was sued and they awarded $1 billion, I said, oh, tyranny, right? And people kind of looked at it, even on the right, and said, well, yeah, Alex Jones deserved it. He shouldn't have been running his mouth like that. Well, now you get a Christian, young Christian man who says, hey, the LGBTQ is a little unrighteous, and the NBA throws the book at him, you know, metaphorically. And then the same conservatives who okayed Alex Jones being sued into oblivion are now mad that the Christian can't say what he wants. What don't you people get? They're all connected.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all connected to the same communist color revolution.
Yeah, that has to hollow out our country, has to undermine our foundational beliefs. And they often do it by sort of using our own beliefs against us. And I mean, this is something I say all the time, is like, you're not a good person for being taken advantage of. People really think that it's like mean to defend yourself. It's mean to lay down the law. It's like, no, mercy to the guilty is violence to the innocent, right? You have to be hardcore about this stuff. And you're right. I don't understand how we've gone so far off the mark. And it seems like, especially, I mean, even like when arguing with the leftists, it's like, all right, you like all these things like welfare and the you know, government money coming to you. Shouldn't they be the ones who are concerned about the fraud? They don't care about the fraud for some reason. It's like, we have to have more hardcore laws here. We have to have people stick to it. The judges won't convict anybody. Somebody just stole, you know, tens of millions of dollars. This woman, Zamzam, her name is Zamzam. She was just convicted. I think $40 million, if I'm not mistaken, that she stole. She was asked to pay back less than $500,000. She'll spend 6 months in prison. By August this year, she'll be back in Somalia with tens of millions of stolen dollars. And it's like, that's the justice system. Meanwhile, I'm sure you've heard the story, a guy's facing 10 years for cheating in a fishing tournament. It's like everything has gone off the rails, Roy. It's like,
yes.
How? And the problem is that our system is so broken now, it's opening up an opportunity for the communists, for the radicals, for the revolutionaries to come in and go, this system's messed up. You need us. You need our new amazing system that I promise is going to make everything right. How do we fix the system while still trying to uphold the system? We don't want to tear it down. We want to fix it. It's a complicated issue. How do we approach this?
I think the reason why people are willing to put up with it is because they enjoy the benefits. As I said about the Somali community, I did this PBS Frontline interview, and I said people crave tyranny. And the interviewer at the time, I know him, I've been knowing him for many years now. He works for PBS, or he's an independent contractor. Anyway, he's like, well, I don't want tyranny. I don't want to live under a tyrant. I go, yeah, so you say. I mean, Aristotle's Fifth Book of Politics tells us that women and slaves love tyrants. You know, we got a lot of women running this country, but we also have a lot of slaves, debt slaves, wage slaves, right? So, I mean, I think the dark truth is people crave tyranny because it's convenient. And
it's easy.
It's easy, yeah. And, we take the benefits. It's like the Somali community, for example. Oh, ICE is terrorizing us. Oh, the federal government's overreaching. This is tyranny. Well, you accept the subsidies. You can't have you can't have it both ways. You can't have a government that's inflated well beyond its rightful size and think that tyranny isn't going to – you're not going to feel the sting of tyranny and then say, oh, well, but it's okay because I still get my social programs. And that's the left right now. Of course they don't care if Somalis – because we're printing more money. As long as they get their SNAP benefits, they don't care if – and this is the danger. This is what they would call in the financial sector moral hazard. Right. The sort of subtle unintended consequences of certain financial instruments and mechanisms. Like if you're going to print money and there's no penalty, no real penalty or consequences for stealing money or losing money, Department of Defense, hey, we lost another $2 trillion. What the hell? Doesn't matter. If there's no consequences, as I've said for many years, even when I was back on Jason Whitlock's show, when your government steals, everybody steals. See, right. This is how the Republicans really get us, though. They want our political identity to be attached to the culture wedge issues just as much as the left, because it's easy for them to control the narrative around culture wedge issues. Even the LGBTQ, women playing in men's sports. My Senate opponent, Michelle Tafoya, her whole campaign is we got to get men out of women's sports. It's like you want to be a United States senator. And I get that's ridiculous and an abomination that we've allowed that to happen. But talk to me about monetary policy.
Right.
Talk to me about foreign policy. Talk to me about legacy institutions that have generations of corruption throughout. Don't talk to me about a couple of weird tranny dudes and, you know, playing in sports. That goes without saying, yep. Right? Or it should. But, you know, it's the Fox News MO is pay attention to the young black men who are, you know, snatching bags out of department stores. It's like, well, you know, you could take every black person in America and add up all the merchandise they've stolen for the last 100 years, and it wouldn't be a drop in the bucket for $2 trillion that the Department of Defense just misplaced,
yeah.
Right? And it's like, well, those two things aren't connected. It's like, oh, really, Mark Levin? They're not connected? Oh, sure. Sure, buddy. You know, let's just go by the quantitative measure. The more money you steal, the greater penalty. You know, there shouldn't be a reprieve for stealing more money. It's like the difference between white-collar crime and blue-collar crime. It's like, right. Well, you know, they only stole money in the stock exchange. It's like, well, that has a real-world effect on people. Like, where are we getting off letting these white-collar, cosmopolitan, omnisexual globalists get away with this financial racket?
Yep.
Racketeering is what it is. Through our own military-industrial complex, we pay for it. But, you know, people have to wake up and get wise to that. And if they did, you'd never vote for a Gavin Newsom again.
Yep.
Like, oh, what a jerk off, right? I mean, it's all of them, right? It's all of them. But then it's so bad, even Massey. And I've asked this question a number of times. Maybe you can help me out with the thinking. See, even Massey, who I like and I agree with a lot, and you know, it's just like, well, the Congress is captured, 95% captured. But then you want the president to come to the Congress and ask them for permission to do anything. It's like, wouldn't that be a concession to the capture? And I get it. It's like, well, we got to follow the rules. It's like, no, you guys didn't play sports. When a scuffle breaks out in the middle of a game, there are no more rules.
Yep.
There are no more. When I get hit with that bean pitch and I storm the mound, we're emptying these dugouts, and the only way we go back to the rules is if both teams say, we've had enough, we want to return back to the rules. Then you can go back to the previous rules, but until then, the rules are effectively suspended. This is a blood sport now in basketball, and don't even talk about MMA. But, you know, that's kind of my mentality is like there's a suspension of the rules. The left suspended them. The communists suspended them. The globalists suspended them. The only one playing by the rules are the doormat Christians and the conservatives.
And they're doing it themselves. Like we're doing it ourselves. We're enforcing it on ourselves. And I think you're exactly right because our whole system depends on precedent, right? And this is always the excuse from the Republicans as well. We can't do that because what if they come back and do it to us? That doesn't work when the left routinely does things that are unprecedented, routinely does things that have no precedent at all in law or justice or morality or anything. And then Republicans refuse to return the favor because, you know, like you said, like when once the scuffle breaks out, you know, it's all bets are off, clear the dugouts, let's go. But even in smaller ways, it's like if you're playing on team and they go, oh, well, we don't play that. We don't play offsides. We don't play whatever it is. You know, we do a change rule. And it's like, okay, that's the new rule. Now you have to play by that. So, okay, if they want to throw people in jail for January 6th, I guess that's the new rule. I guess we have to play by that. And that actually is the reason why, you know, the precedent setting works is because we need Democrats to go, ooh, if we do that, they're going to do it to us. But they know we're not going to do it to them, so they can do whatever the hell they want. And Republicans will sit there following the rules that are no longer valid.
Yes. No, that's 100% right. And we just got to get some toughness and grit. I said it the other day about when I did the show on Sunday about the 1776 mantra so oftenly invoked by conservatives. And it's like, well, you know, what about law enforcement? I mean, we have a default position on the right that comes from the conservative Fox News communists that says anything a cop tells you to do ever, you should just listen. You should obey. It's like, excuse me? What did you just say? What if they tell me I have to take a vaccine or provide my vaccine mandate papers? Do I still have to obey and listen? Oh, well, that wouldn't happen. Oh, really? Mark Levin, you're vaccinated, buddy. I mean, and we know it. So, and I don't mean to keep picking on him, but he has become, you know, sort of the titular head of conservative ink and the messaging and narrative. And it's just like, where do these people get off with these type of brazen contradictions? Their logic is so flawed. And the fact that people are even willing to listen to them, let alone follow them, is a sign of a decadent culture. But I hope we could turn it around. You can't preclude miracles, especially during Holy Week, right? Mm. Christ is risen, and miracles are possible. So we could turn it around, but we need some hellacious fighters right now to step up and just say things like you are. If you support the war in Israel, you're a communist. Why? Socialism and communism are only a degree away, and we're socializing the risk of our phony money in order to fund the war. So you're just as much of a socialist as the Somalis who stole state taxpayer money.
Yep. And or just stand on the First Amendment and go, sorry, you don't have a right to tell me what I can and can't say. I don't care if you think it's hateful. I don't care if you think it's anti-Semitic. I get to say what I want. And actually, it's those things that are hateful or anti-Semitic or whatever. That is literally the reason the First Amendment was written. Obviously, it is the thing that gives Jews the right to practice their religion and Catholics the right to practice their religion. It also, incumbent in that right, is the right for everybody else to criticize, mock, denigrate. It doesn't matter. It's the same rule that gives both of these rights to the American people. And that is where the biggest threat is coming from, as far as I can see it. The push for anti-Semitism laws, and the hatred of Christianity and the discrimination against Christians. I mean, this is a major problem that we have to identify and fight against. What's the best way to do that, do you think?
Well, I just think I think we're at a point now where we can't rely on the Supreme Court or any other courts to adjudicate that type of justice or fairness interpretation of the laws that we already have. A commander in chief, a warrior philosopher, is going to have to take power in this country at some point and bring down the hammer. Now, I'm not ever for rounding people up and having, kangaroo witch hunt, lawfare or weaponized courts. But, some of these things are sort of explicitly anti-Christian, anti-American, anti-human.
Yep.
So, look at what happened in Spain. Euthanasia. I mean, where are we headed? We know where we're headed. We're looking at the inevitability of what we will become. When we see a euthanization carried out on a 24-year-old young, healthy bodied, abled woman in Spain, in Europe. And then we're paying to subsidize their territorial integrity. It's like at the moment where they lose the sanctity of life, we should be pulling out of NATO. Mm-hmm. And that should just be a matter of principle and morality. But we don't have that moral structure. Okay, fine. If the rules are there are no morals, then let's just call it that. Let's just say that. I mean, but let's not say we're going to fight a war for Israel on behalf of Christianity and our morals. It's like, no, you're not.
No. Yeah.
I mean, who do you think you're? Who you think you're? Come on. Don't even say that. Like, it actually under. I'd rather you just come out and say, we don't give a damn about the morals or the ethics. There are no rules. There are no morals. We're going to win the Darwinian game, and that's just the way we're playing it. Okay, now we can have a better conversation. But when you undermine the Christian ethic at a fundamental level, you have abnegated your legitimacy to say that it's in a pursuit of a Christian formulation of thought or culture. That's just blasphemy, is what it is in Holy Week here. That, my friends, is blasphemy.
And we see it everywhere. It's absolutely constant and ridiculous. Just incredible stuff. Royce White is my guest. RoyceWhite.us is the website, @Highway_30 on X. And, of course, you're running for Senate. How can people help you with that? Any events coming up? Anything you need people to know about your campaign?
Yes, U.S. Senate. I'm running for U.S. Senate again. Tina Smith, open seat, running hopefully against a Democrat, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanigan, Protect Trans Rights with the Knife, Angie Craig. $3 million from AIPAC. On my side, you got Michelle Tafoya, pro-choice, pro-Zionist, and you got Adam Schwarzy, 20-year naval vet, recently the CIA, pro-life, pro-Zionist. I mean, they're trying to pincer me at every angle here.
Right, they got you at every corner.
But hey, I'm just a dumb black Negro from the neighborhood, and I'm America first, so I guess that makes me persona non grata. And I wear it as a badge of honor. Come see me and Mike Lindell at Wayzata Middle School if you're in Minnesota on April 8th.
Well, we need more people like you in the government, man. We wouldn't be in this situation in the first place if we had more. RoyceWhite.us @Highway_30 on X. Thank you so much for being here with us, sir. It's very, very interesting times we live in, and the cultural landscape is shifting underneath us. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support everything that we do here. We're running out of Faraday bags, so get yours while you still can. Stay tuned. I'll be joined very shortly by Tiffany Cianci with some breaking news about pesticide law that nobody else has. This is an exclusive coming up.
Ultimate life force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone that is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexshowstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com for 50% off.